I was at the Cathedral of the Incarnation in Garden City yesterday. I had a member from, St. Andrew's South being received. So we went down to, as the diocese, as we know last spring, the diocese has various group confirmation and receptions. And yesterday, as we were there, the bishop gave his sermon. And during his sermon, he gave the confirmands an assignment. And that assignment was to listen to the various political debates in the next year. He said, I'm not talking about taking sides, but listen to the various debates and try to find the underlying theme. Of course, then he turned around and gave the underlying theme of being that as we listen, as we have for years, we hear the various candidates tell us that we deserve everything, and they're the person who's going to get it for us. And of course, we keep on voting for them, and every year then we complain a few months later that they don't come through with it again. But that's part of what goes on with us, I think, as part of our, I don't know if it's human nature or just part of the culture that we live in, that we have this expectation that our desires should be fulfilled, that we should be first. From little kids, fighting to be the first one in line, to not so little kids, jockeying for, that advancement at work. Because it's drummed into us, unless we are the first, we're nobody. I grew up, as you know, in Nebraska, and that was during the days of Bob Devaney, Cornhusker football, where when they said we're number one, we actually meant it. And all the bumper stickers had "we're number one" on them. And, so growing up as a kid, it was always the idea that we're number one. And I don't think that's any different from most places. I think we all grew up with that idea that we are first. Now, in our gospel today, we have James and John, the sons of Zebedee, coming up, and they're telling Jesus, we're going to ask you something, and we want you to do whatever we ask. In other words, they put it as they're going to ask a favor, but they really are making a demand on Jesus. And they ask, and they tell Jesus they want to be on his right and in his left hand when Jesus comes into glory. Which tells you two things: is one, they have no idea what the coming into glory is going to take. And the second, what it means to be a leader in the church. Now, of course, Jesus starts off by asking them if they have what it takes to drink from the cup he would be drinking from, or to receive the baptism he would be baptized in. And of course, James and John says, "Yeah, we're able." And then Jesus, turns around and says, "Okay, you're going to get it on this, but whoever sits on my right and left isn't for me to decide." Now, of course, this time, as we hear in the gospel, everybody else is figuring out what's going on, and they're grumbling. They're all angry at John and James. And I've often wondered, are they really angry at John and James because they put themselves before everybody else? Or are they angry because they didn't think of it first? And, of course, Jesus starts talking about what it means to be a leader in the church. And this doesn't change 2,000 years later. For those of us who want to sit with Jesus, for those of us who want to be first in the church, it means giving totally of ourselves, of allowing others to go before us. As Jesus talks about, being a servant or a slave to our sisters and brothers. When someone is in need, taking care of their needs first. If there's a place at the table, allowing somebody else to sit down first. It's not about thinking less of ourselves, but it's about thinking more of others. And, of course, this is totally opposed to all the messages we're receiving on the various campaigns, that we should be thinking about ourselves first. Now, that's okay for the political arena, but we're all about God here, about this love that is so freely given to us. Throughout the Bible, inside the Hebrew Bible, we'll often see the word steadfast love. You'll see that phrase, especially in the Psalms, the parables, throughout the various readings and it's usually associated with God, the steadfast love. And that comes from a Hebrew word, chesed, which is really hard to translate into English. We don't really have an equivalent. The funny thing is as we see in Hebrew, as we see in Greek, there's all sorts of words for love. And here in English, we have one word that we use for everything, and most of the time it has nothing to do with love. But the idea of the chesed, the steadfast love, is this is a love that is always faithful, that no matter what we do, no matter what happens, this love does not change, it doesn't diminish. If anything, it gets stronger. And that's the same type of love we're called to give to our sisters and brothers. Now, we're getting into this season of Thanksgiving, this season of harvest. I don't know if any of you were up early like I was. The first indication was when I went out and realized I should have probably went and started the car about 10 minutes earlier, because there's a layer of frost on the window this morning. But it's that time in which we often think about Thanksgiving and aplenty. But it's also a time when those of us, especially who are working with those in need, are realizing this is a time where people are starting to get a little bit desperate. Those people who've been comfortable because of the warm weather, at least, safe, are no longer that way. We've been doing a lot with the Veterans Place, who help veterans who are homeless find various places to live. They provide a temporary shelter and help them to find a new place to live, give them the skills they need, the resources. And right now, this gets to be a very busy time for them, because as anyone who works, whether in human services or law enforcement, knows, our woods are full of homeless people who, during the warmer months, often camp out. And now, as the weather's changing, their needs are needing to be met. I know right now we have a collection where we're collecting blankets and we're asking for, sweatshirts and such. It's in the bulletin. And it's that part of thinking about, what is it my brother needs? What is it my sister needs? That's only one area. But it's also about inviting people in. It's very easy to go out and to help other people in need if you go out there. I've rarely found it difficult when I was doing homeless ministries to get people to come out and bring sandwiches and blankets and stuff like that. But sometimes when you turn around and ask the same church if they would host a dinner inside, it was a whole different story. Because people like to go out, but the idea that we invite people in. Fortunately, we're not that kind of church here. This is the kind of place that invites people to come and join and be a part of, no matter where they come from, what they're going through, no matter what they look like. It's not always saying that we are in perfect union with one another, but what it's saying is that we're willing to go outside of ourselves to bring our brothers and sisters in. And that's what the church is all about. As I said, we're getting to that time of both giving and thanksgiving, also in the time of need. And during the, as we go into the new season, I encourage you all to think about the many ways you can help our brothers and sisters. But I also encourage you to bring them in, to invite people to come join you for worship, to ask them to come to various church events and dinners. Just invite them to come pray with you. It really isn't that complicated. But sometimes the things that are not complicated are the hardest, because they generally mean taking a risk. And so that's what I'm asking you to do as we go into this season, is to take risks, to put yourself out there. Now, I know sometimes when you take a risk and offer, ask people to come, we risk being rejected. And nobody wants to be rejected. But sometimes when we ask people in, we take even better risk, a bigger risk of them actually saying yes. And then we're like, what do we do now? As I said, be willing to take a risk. Be willing to give yourself fully to be like Christ, to share in that cup, but at the same time, inviting others to join us at the table. The great thing about God's table, though people have tried to make it really small throughout the years, there's always room for one more. So invite. Invite.